Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
You act as a representative for all feminists who believe in the culture of life. Organizations like the Susan B. Anthony List are returning the women's movement back to its original roots, back to what it was all about in the beginning. You remind us that the earliest leaders of the women's rights movements, they were pro-life.
The familiar voice of Sarah Palin, who is casting herself and so many women who find her interesting and politically motivating as a new kind of feminist, perhaps even maybe the old kind of feminist. Joining us to talk about Sarah Palin and the new feminist identity, Colleen Carroll Campbell. She's host of the television program Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she also writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you again.
Colleen, why do you think the name Sarah Palin evokes such an emotional response from so many people?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons, but the main one is that she has described herself as a pro-life feminist. She's an outspoken woman who obviously believes that women have a strong role in American public life and politics. She's conservative, so that doesn't fit with the conventional mold of women who have been dominating our public life in the last few decades. And she's very conservative on social issues, especially abortion. And so I think it's just a combination of things that people are not expecting. It's something new. She's not the only one who fits in this mold of a pro-life, pro-family, pro-faith feminist. But it's not something that our chattering classes have heard a lot about. As far as they understand it, any woman who's out there prominent in public life and calls herself a feminist has to fit a certain certain description in terms of her beliefs. She has to be pretty far to the left on most social issues, and she has to be vehemently in support of abortion rights. Sarah Palin is none of those things, and so she's got a lot of people stumped and angry. And I think she's generated a lot of interesting conversation in America since she burst onto the national stage 2 years ago.
In your column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you quote Sarah Palin talking about an emerging conservative feminist identity. What does she mean?
Well, she had an interesting speech to the Susan B. Anthony List, and that's the pro-life answer, basically, to Emily's List, which is raises money for abortion activist candidates. And she said in her speech to this group, this was last month, it drew a lot of both praise and condemnation across the op-ed pages and blogosphere and all the rest. She said for a long time when people heard the word feminist, they thought of the faculty lounge at an East Coast women's college. And, of course, this drew laughter from her audience because I think we all know what she's talking about. She said, no offense to them, but that's only one voice, and there's another voice of women in America. And then she went on to describe what she called frontier feminism, this sort of forgotten strain of early American feminism that grew out of the tough, independent, pioneering mothers, as she put it, of the West. And she said today's common-sense, constitutional, conservative women, of whom she obviously would count herself as one, and women who are active in grassroots political organizing more and more, especially in the age of Obama. She said these women are heirs to this forgotten strain of Western or frontier feminism, and it is a feminism that embraces, among other things, motherhood and marriage and defense of the unborn. So she's really trying to define a different kind of feminism, and she's not the first to do this. We've certainly seen groups like Feminists for Life and the Susan B. Anthony List and others trying to reclaim the beliefs of the early American feminists, the very earliest ones who saw abortion as an affront to the dignity of women. But what's interesting about Sarah Palin is that she's sort of embodying this and going around the country, giving speeches, saying, here, I'm one of these women, and you can be too. And she's saying this to a growing number of women who are saying, yeah, you know, when you define things that way, I can find myself in that kind of feminism that you're talking about, as long as it's not something that is anti-male and anti-child and anti-family.
So how have the radical feminists treated Sarah Palin?
Well, it's been pretty ugly to watch left-wing feminists attack Palin. You can disagree with her politics, with her policies. You know, a lot of conservatives who agree with those things don't think she's ready to be, you know, on a national political stage in terms of running for high national office. Those things are all, you know, reasonable beliefs. What I think is a problem is what we've seen among so many left-wing feminists of just vicious, catty, personal attacks on women like Sarah Palin, and especially Sarah Palin. There were early internet rumors when she first appeared with John McCain as the vice presidential nominee, saying that, you know, maybe the child with Down syndrome she had just given birth to wasn't actually her child. Maybe it was her grandchild and she was hiding something. Just last week, a self-proclaimed women's rights advocate started spreading rumors on the internet about her possibly having breast augmentation surgery because she thought, you know, her most recent picture in a T-shirt looked, you know, a little different than she'd looked a few weeks before. And Palin found herself on Fox News having to explain that, no, she did not have surgery. She just, you know, wore something that was a little tighter that day. I mean, it's just ridiculous that a woman in public life has to answer these charges. But what I think is really sad is that so many times they are coming from women and from so-called women's rights advocates and women's rights groups that should know better, that would howl with indignation if one of their favorite women in public life were subjected to the kind of assaults that Sarah Palin takes on a weekly basis.
We spoke earlier this week with Ramesh Panuru of National Review about the growing popularity of pro-life women in politics. Do you share his optimism?
I do. I think he had a very interesting op-ed in the New York Times on that subject. And, of course, he's written a good book outlining, you know, how the parties have coalesced around this issue. But, yes, I think there is a real opening here for the pro-life movement. And there's a real hunger among pro-life women to identify themselves, you know, with a movement that does celebrate women and their achievements, celebrates the fact that women have unique gifts that they can bring to public life, but doesn't force a woman to have to choose between having a voice in public life and supporting traditional values, defending her faith, and defending the life of her unborn child. These things can go together, and in fact, they really naturally do go together. A woman's ability to conceive and bear a child is a great gift, and the vast majority of women see it that way. Whether or not a particular pregnancy is intended or not, the vast majority of women don't look at fertility as a curse. And I think, unfortunately, modern feminism has tried to peddle that to many women, that fertility is some sort of a curse and that we need to sort of cut off our femininity if we want to get in touch with our equal dignity. And I think a lot of women, especially younger women, are saying, no, I reject that. I'm not going to choose between having a future and having a child. I want both. I deserve both. And as a woman, I'm going to get out there in the public square and advocate for other women to have both as well.
Well, when we come back, one more question for Colleen Carroll Campbell. The general comparison between what's being called now the new feminist, the emerging feminist identity, with that of popular or old-line liberal feminism. Colleen Carroll Campbell is our guest on this Friday afternoon, June the 18th. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and she's host of the television program Faith and Culture.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
What can a view from space teach us about God's care for His creation, His wisdom in ordering the universe, and the goodness of divine providence? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled The Work of His Hands. It's written by astronaut Jeffrey Williams. Colonel Williams spent 6 months aboard the International Space Station. You can purchase The Work of His Hands by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Work of His Hands.
Rights. Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A generational shift offers pro-life encouragement.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The National Abortion Rights Action League, known as NARAL, recently conducted a survey examining the views of young Americans on abortion. To their disappointment, they found that while young pro-lifers called abortion a very important voting issue, only 26% of young abortion advocates viewed it that way. Nancy Keenan, president of NARAL, related her chagrin over this issue in a Newsweek article, expressing her fear that the abortion movement is dominated by women over 50 and that younger people are not ready to fill the ranks the way they are in the pro-life movement.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Colleen Carol Campbell is our guest. We're talking about Sarah Palin and the new feminist identity. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In a few minutes, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That means we've got four soundbites this week from Issues Etc. audio. We play them for you, and the game proceeds very simply. All you do is call and, well, listen, then call, email, Twitter, or leave your vote at their Facebook fan page, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. The Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. For your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, coming up here in just a few minutes. Colleen, finally, how would you summarize the differences, compare and contrast, the new feminist identity with popular feminism?
Well, I think the most obvious contrast between these two types of feminism is on the abortion issue, which is why we hear so much about this issue. And here again is where Sarah Palin is such a lightning rod, because she not only uses pro-life rhetoric, but we all know that she's a mother of five children and that her fifth child came at a time in her life when she wasn't planning to have more children and when she was not expecting to have a special needs child. And, of course, getting that prenatal Down syndrome diagnosis was very challenging, as it would be for any mother, and she chose life. So she's someone who walks the walk as well as talks the talk, and I think that's why, in many ways, she riles so many pro-abortion feminists. So I think abortion, as so often is the case in American public life, is what a lot of this divide comes down to. But in some ways, abortion is a stand-in for a lot of other issues, including religion. And again, the second wave of modern feminism, which is what we call feminism today, but actually it's sort of one sliver of a longer tradition, has been very much about rejecting motherhood, but also rejecting the traditional values that are handed on from our Judeo-Christian heritage, and has been very suspicious of religion in general. All of these things, as I said, are not appealing to many, many American women who find themselves more in the mainstream and yet still want to stand strong for their dignity as women. So I think this is an exciting development, that there is this new branch of feminism that, in a sense, isn't new at all, but actually recovering something that's been sadly lost in the last four decades or so, as the so-called women's rights advocates have unfortunately alienated many women from their very femininity, from what makes women unique and distinctive, and from all of the things that most women are proud of when it comes to their own femininity. So I think this is a positive development, and Palin and all of the other women who are beginning to emerge as political leaders this year on the right are going to get a lot of flack from their so-called feminist sisters, but I hope they stand tough and speak out for the majority of American women who share their views.
Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a television program, Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.